afternoon. I want to welcome listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by SimTrainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, right across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914. We are a full-service range. It's a members-only facility, but you can join on the spot and take advantage of our recreational shooting opportunities, maybe get yourself registered for one of our upcoming classes. I know that our concealed carry class that starts on Monday has maybe only two spots left in it, but the January class, which will be a Saturday-Sunday class on the 14th and 15th of January, is only about half full, so there's plenty of spots available in that. There are also some slots available for the December 17th First Shots class. The First Shots class is designed specifically for people who are unfamiliar with shooting and want to somehow get involved in the shooting sports. Maybe it would be the jump-off course for them to get a firearm for personal protection, for recreational shooting, or whatever the case might be. The emphasis of that class is on the overview of the functional operation of a firearm. We talk about range safety and firearm safety. You get to go out on the range under the direct supervision of our trained staff and shoot 50 rounds. And then we take you back in the classroom for the last half hour or so and talk about different ways that you can enjoy the shooting sports and get involved.
Makes a great Christmas present, too.
Absolutely. We have gift certificates available, and they're being sold as we speak. You can purchase gift certificates for membership, for training, for private lessons, whatever the case might be. We also offer a full line accessory store where you can pick up various accessory items. And we've recently gotten in quite a bit of stock, particularly in the line of our Blackhawk holsters. And just yesterday, I got a full couple dozen of the Crossbreed holsters, both the Super Tuck and the Mini Tuck. And I mention that because some of the people aren't as big as Mark and I, and maybe the Super Tuck is just a little bit too big for their liking, but the Mini Tuck is about half the actual amount of material and does the same fine job of concealing the gun inside the waistband. And I particularly purchased some of the Mini Tucks and some of the more popular 380 and small single stack 9mm, like the Kimber Solo, the Ruger LCP and the LC9, the Sig Sauer P290, and the Smith & Wesson Bodyguard 380, along with a few other of the popular firearms. So if you're looking for a last-minute gift to purchase the shooting enthusiast in your life, purchase for the shooting enthusiast in your life, come on down and take a look at some of the new inventory that we just got in. We have a number of different range bags that we got in, also various accessory items that might be a great addition to the shooting enthusiasts equipment. So please stop by if you have a chance. Also, I have a number of firearms. I just recently got our third shipment of Springfield XD, XDMs, and 1911s in, and I have a variety of those in stock. And if you're interested in firearm, please give me a call at the shop at 293-3914, or send me an email at radio@sim-trainer.com, and we'll be glad to get you lined up. I also want to remind our listeners that on Christmas Eve, 2 weeks from today, hard to believe that here we are already, two weeks to go, and it's Christmas. We're going to have a special four-hour Christmas Eve sale. It's going to run from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we're going to do a number of things there. We're going to continue to liquidate our new and used gun inventory, and I'm just going to kind of throw out a little teaser there. I didn't even let Mark know this, but we're going to showcase two items that I just we've actually been testing and evaluating one over the last couple weeks and found it to be very interesting. But I want you to come by the shop and first of all try it out. If you like, you'll see some video demonstrations of how it works in real life and how it works with you. And we're going to be stocking a number of different variations of that item. And we've got two items in particular, like mystery items, that I know people are going to be very interested in. They're going to help shooters in a variety of different ways. And we're not the exclusive distributors of them, but there aren't many people around here that are going to have these items. And when you see them and you see the value in a number of different capacities, you're going to be very excited to see what they can do for you. And it'll be a great, great, great opportunity to purchase that very last minute gift for either yourself or somebody who's involved in the shooting sports, whether it's recreational shooting, competitive shooting, or hunting for that matter.
And Jeff didn't say what it was, and I have no idea what it is, so I'm looking forward to getting to the range this afternoon after the show.
He knows what it is, and he just it's kind of right above him, and that's good. I don't want to tip anybody off, because I want you to stop by the range. We're going to have some raffles and some surprises that day, and we'll have some discounted items in the store, but I want to give you a chance to stop by and see what our range is all about and see what we can do for you again. That'll be Christmas Eve from 9 to 1. I also want to take just a minute remind our listeners, if you want to get on the show today, please give us a call at 457-1290.
You're okay. You hit your button. That's why he dropped off for a second.
Okay. If you want to get on the show, it's 457-1290, and we'd be more than glad to get you in the queue and answer any of your questions related to firearms or any other topic you want to talk about today. I want to first of all thank Old English Outfitters, Evan and his crew up at Old English at 480 East Ginghamsburg Road in Tip City. They're a full service, one of the probably longest standing gun sales shops in the area, in the greater Miami Valley for sure. I know since I've been here for 25 years, they've been up and running, and they've been doing a lot of good things for the Miami Valley. Their number is 937-667-3315. That's 937-667-3315. And you can visit them on the web at oeoutfitters.com. That's oeoutfitters.com. And I do know, I just visited their website the other day because I was talking with the owner, Evan English, and they have some super specials going on right now, and they have their sale flyer posted on their internet site. If you weren't fortunate to get it in the mail, if you weren't on their mailing list, just visit their website, and they've got some great sales going on. So please take the opportunity to visit oeoutfitters.com and see if there's something there that you might be interested in.
And, of course, you can get to these websites from our website at sim-trainer.com/radio, and we have all our sponsors' links are there as well.
Yeah. The second one I want to mention, Steve Pearson, our attorney, one of the two attorneys that we work with, but Steve and his firm are very active in concealed carry-related issues, whether it's defensive issues or just information that they can provide from a legal perspective. You can reach them at 937-299-2995. That's Steve Pearson at 937-299-2995. And Steve's a wealth of information. He's kind of been involved in this from the beginning, done some research, kept track of the cases that have evolved. And there haven't been many, fortunately, but he keeps track of the cases that have evolved. And I think that from the standpoint of, he's certainly not truly a specialist in this area, because there hasn't been enough volume, I don't think, and that's a good thing for him to say he specializes in this area, but he's one of, if
he
not
follows it closely.
Absolutely. And he's one of, if not the most knowledgeable people when it comes to concealed carry and related issues. And our third sponsor for the show, Crossbreed Holsters. You can visit them online at crossbreedholsters.com. They're out of Republic, Missouri. And as I mentioned earlier, we just purchased another couple dozen of their product because it's been such a great seller for us. And it's been a great service to our membership and to the people who take our classes. So if you're interested in a great concealment holster, take a look at their line of Crossbreed Holsters at crossbreedholsters.com. And I'm sure you could find something that might interest you. Over the last week, there were a couple newsworthy articles. First of all, I'm sure some of you probably heard about the 66-year-old woman out in California that was innocently in her own home when an intruder came a-knocking. Well, unfortunately for him, he chose the wrong house because he knocked on the door. They had a short dialogue where she indicated very clearly she did not know him and didn't want him around there. He wasn't satisfied with that interchange. He then persisted on breaking a window in a bedroom adjacent to the front door. At that time, she fired two shots. I believe at that point, neither of the two shots hit the subject. She was on the phone with the dispatcher, and the subject, at least temporarily, left the immediate vicinity. The 66-year-old elderly woman stayed on the phone with the dispatcher, and the police were on their way, and the attacker, to his demise, came back a second time, started to busted through the window, started to crawl into the residence. She shot him this time two times and hit him, and he was pronounced dead on the scene. And there's a video interview of her and the dispatcher on the web. If you just put in 66-year-old woman shoots intruder in California, you'll be able to get it. And there's also several variations of the dispatch tapes that took place. And even though this is an extremely stressful situation, and Mark and I have talked many times on the radio, and we talk about this in class, stress does a lot of physiological, psychological, emotional things to the body. It's just the basic human response. This woman was remarkably calm under that kind of stress and pressure. Now, granted, there are immediate short-term effects from being involved in that type of situation. Then there are potential lingering long-term effects. But when I saw the interview of her with the dispatcher yesterday, she did probably 90% of the talking in the interview, and she did a great job. And you could tell that she was committed to saving herself and certainly didn't want to be in that situation. But when trouble came a knocking, she said she went and got the gun that she knew was in her dresser drawer, and she used it to defend herself. Who knows what the bad guy's intentions were? But fortunately, we don't have to know.
Before we get to our first break, let's go out to the phones and talk to Ed, who's calling from Beaver Creek. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing fine. How can we help you today?
Well, I didn't know whether you'd be able to respond, but I was wondering if you could have any comments on the Kel-Tec PMR-30.
Not familiar with it. Is it one of their new line guns that are coming out the gun show?
Yeah, it's a 22 mag. It's generally been shown that it's allocated, which tells me they're, you know,
popular.
Having it going out somewhere, but basically not available in most of the gun shops that I've ever checked with.
Well, allocated basically means they're very rare, and they're not available in abundant supply. Allocated means each one of us dealers that are in certain categories of distribution might get one, possibly two of those guns when they're available. And since that gun, I quite frankly just haven't followed that line, I would venture to guess that they're going to showcase that gun at the SHOT Show in a month and a half, and then it will become more available. But the people that are interested in it are going to gobble it up, and then total availability probably won't be in abundant supply until mid-year next year. That's typically how the industry goes.
It's available in the sense that, you know, you can check it out on the internet and get some of the status of their production, which I think they're saying is 500 a month, something along those lines.
Yeah, and that's actually quite low when you think that you know, some of the other lines of guns right now. I think Ruger was talking about 7,000 a month for the LC9.
And, quite a difference.
Yeah, and you know, and they're still in short supply.
And Glock was making 30,000 a month before they bumped up their production during the 2008 time frame when they went to 60,000 a month. So,
well, that
500 a month is a small number. Yeah. That's still ramping up.
And appreciate the CCW I got from you guys a year or so ago.
Great, thanks very much.
And we'll keep an eye. We'll keep an eye out for that gun, and if we hear anything good or bad about it, we'll be sure to report on it for you.
Okay, and like I say again, have a blessed Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you
too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye bye.
We are just about ready to take our first break. But before I do, let me remind folks that our phone number here at the studio is 457-1290. And if you'd like to get in on the show, maybe you have a comment or a question. Maybe you've seen that videotape or some of the interviews about the shooting in California. And maybe you have a comment on that, or maybe you have some other comment, maybe some of the things that went on at Virginia Tech this week and other places. So if you'd like to be part of the show, give us a call at 457-1290 and here into the studio, and we will get you up on the board. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery in with Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. Let's go back out to the phones and talk to Tom in Springfield, who's calling in. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing great. How can we help you?
Well, I have a son over in Afghanistan right now. He's in the infantry, and with me texting him, I asked him what he wanted for Christmas, and he told me that he wanted some magazines for his rifle, some ones that don't jam.
Okay.
And gave me the information, you know, of where to find it and who had them and stuff like this. So I went online and was looking at them, and they are unavailable for export.
Correct.
And I was wondering what kind of grid. They said that they would ship them to the United States, you know, any place here in the United States, and it's a U.S. company.
Okay.
If I had it shipped to my home and then sent it over, what kind of grief can I expect doing that, or should I just wind up sending him a pair of socks?
Well, obviously the socks would be comfortable this time of year over there. But, no, I would say that your best bet would be to go through his unit. When my brother was over there, there was several things that they would ship over, and they would ship with unit gear. So when the units would exchange people, or they had other stuff that was going over, they would have some additional room for things. And you can send a package that would go around the normal mail system, but I would not ship it through APO.
Okay, I understand.
Is his unit somewhere close by?
Evidently, the design of these things are fiberglass, and they're supposed to be no jam and that type of thing. So that's the reason why he showed some interest in it, I believe, at least the way he was talking.
Is his unit located nearby, or is it someplace you'd have to mail to? I mean, not where he's currently located, but his home unit here in the States.
He's from Springfield.
Okay, so that would be the best way, is to contact somebody still at the home unit and find out how's the best way in for them to ship stuff over with their gear, because there's stuff going all the time, and that's the best way to do that, I think. Okay. Because especially when something is listed as not for export, you're going to have a lot of trouble if you try to send it through the mail.
I suspected that.
that's not the best. And then you can wrap them in the socks, you know, for packing material.
That's even a better idea.
Yeah, there you go.
And I thank you for your answer.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you very much. Appreciate you calling the show.
Along a more serious line about the socks, I will remind the people that's a great gift for people out in the field. And there's a line in particular that we use in my line of work, and that's the 511 padded. So if you're interested in sending them some socks, they provide both the extra comfort and the warmth, depending on the environment in which they're working in. But the 511 tactical padded socks are great. So if you're looking to send something, gloves and socks are great options.
We just have a couple minutes left before the news at the bottom of the hour. So if you'd like to get on the show, give us a call at 457-1290, and we'll take your calls right after.
Right before the last break, we were just describing that situation that occurred in California, and there were a couple of other shootings, not so much self-defense shootings, but one was an outright slaying of a police officer down in Virginia Tech. Officer was on a traffic stop, and a citizen unrelated to the traffic stop just walked up and shot him dead, and then left the immediate vicinity and then killed himself. And then there was another incident in California where a crazed gunman was in the middle of an intersection just shooting at passerby, cars going by, and then police responded to that situation and neutralized that threat, and he was pronounced dead at the scene also. So lots of things going on, and lots of situations where people need to be careful, and they need to be capable and ready and willing to defend themselves, because there are people out there with evil intent. And, you know, getting a gun and being responsible for your own safety, I think, is the best, most responsible way for us as citizens to take care of those things, because law enforcement officers can't be everywhere at all times. And as a result, as we've seen time and time again, including those two incidents, violence just rears its ugly head spontaneously, and you have to be ready to step up and take action. So,
and as Jeff mentioned when we first started the story about the shooting in California, he said that that was obviously the wrong person for that guy to assault, and I think every person should be the wrong person for an assault, and if we ended those quickly, that would be best for all of us. Give us a call at 457-1290. We'll be back right after the news. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Call in with your question or comment at 457-1290. This is the Ask the Expert Show, Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery in with Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip, and we'd like to invite you to give us a call at 457-1290, and you can be part of the show as well. At the top of the hour, we will be, after the news, we'll be There Is a Season with Bob Wolf and Gloria Shanahan, and if you have, either you are part of the sandwich generation where you've got kids at home, or at least still supporting them, and you've also got aging parents that you need to support, that's a great way to get some more information about that. They do a great job. Let's go out to the phones and talk to George in Dayton, who's called in. George, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. First of all, I do not own a firearm. I am not concerned with people who legally carry firearms. Those are not the people with guns that I am concerned with.
Okay.
But I do have a question. I often hear the argument that one of the reasons why in favor of concealed carry is that crimes that are committed in very public places, boy, if somebody was there with concealed carry, that may have ended up very differently. I'm not talking about like a one-on-one crime at all, but in a very public place, when I talk to law enforcement officers, they say that the ability to disarm a very public kind of situation involving firearms is not the fact that they have a gun, it's the training they have received to end this type of situation. They say it's their reaction, their judgment, all of those things that they've had training with. And yet I don't know that people with concealed carry have had that kind of training, and yet I hear, well, if somebody had been there with a gun, you know, who legally had one, it could have ended very differently. There seems to be a real disconnect between those two arguments, and I'm just calling to get your opinion about that.
Okay, great. That's a fair question.
Well, you bring up a very, very good issue, and there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, unfortunately. On the other side, let me start off by saying that one of the most infamous incidents was the Congresswoman Gifford incident earlier this year. I believe it was in January 2011, where that was a very public situation. She was on a public location delivering a speech to her constituency, and a crazed gunman just went off, and it was the spontaneous and heroic acts of three individuals, actually, one who was armed but chose to physically intervene for a variety of reasons, and the other two who just chided in because they felt it was the right thing to do, and it was their heroic, spontaneous actions on the scene that averted further mayhem and death. That's a fact, and that's been consistent around the country, not only in public situations but in school dwellings. And if you look at school shootings, public shootings over the last mass slayings over the last 20, 30 years, the few that have been resolved before the individual either committed suicide or was barricaded themselves in a private location have been resolved by citizens, not by law enforcement. And that's just the nature of the situation, that the way they arise and the way they evolve. The second issue I want to mention is this whole concept of concealed carry permit holders or CHL holders being trained to deal with that. We tell people, and your point is right on, just going and taking the course isn't it. You got to practice with that gun. You got to become so familiar with that gun that when it comes time to use it under those rapidly evolving, highly stressful situations, the handling of the gun is not even something that you consciously think about. It's just instinctive movement, drawing the gun, pointing it to the assailant, and then taking aggressive action to neutralize the threat. That's where the training comes in. But even before that, the mental preparation for that confrontation has to occur.
And that's one of the reasons why Jeff started Sim Trainer now almost 8 years ago. And the reason it's because that level of training, which the police are supposed to get and oftentimes do, but not always, that level of training is the same level of training that the civilians need and should be willing to take. It's the kind of preparation to do something in a situation that's an extreme situation, and you may hope that you never have to do it, but frankly, if it's going to have to happen, I would rather it happen to someone like me who's been trained than to someone who has no experience and hasn't mentally prepared to deal with the situation the way it needs to be dealt with.
Well, the other side of that was just like this lady in California. She had the gun. She hasn't spoken much as to how much she shot the gun. But given the fact that she used the gun to defend herself from what would have probably been a very terrible and tragic outcome that would have been smeared all over the papers for the next 10 weeks, she did a great thing because she had access to a gun and had enough knowledge to use the gun in defense of herself. So I think having the gun, having the training that is at least introductory level, like we require in the state of Ohio, 12 hours of basic training, is a start and is a jump point, but there needs to be additional training. And I'll give you a couple seconds here to jump in and retort if you so inclined.
Yeah, the lady in California, if I'm familiar with the incident you're talking about, where she shot an intruder coming through the window, an elderly lady. Yeah, I'm not talking about that one-on-one at all. I'm talking about crimes that are being committed in very public places with many people around, and how does one resolve that simply having concealed carry does not give one the training it from what law enforcement officers tell me to deal with that kind of situation.
Well, are you referring to the potential for collateral damage where they would be intending to shoot the assailant, but they might hit innocent people? Are you concerned about that issue, or is there something else? I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, I think it's that issue. I mean, I guess my question is, why do law enforcement officers go through training on how to handle very public, how to end that very kind of public situation? It's not just the firearm.
Right.
They tell me it's other kinds of training they go through.
Well, we go through the training because we're the ones that are called. As soon as the incident occurs, most people pull their cell phone instead of pulling their gun. Now, I personally think we need to change that mindset. I think the gun needs to get pulled before the cell phone because people's lives hang in the balance of time. It takes people to make that phone call. And for me as a law enforcement officer to receive the call, process the information, respond to the scene, arrive and neutralize. And that could be 3, 5, 10, 20 minutes based on, you know, where you're at. So I think there has to be a mind shift change. And we've been doing that probably for the last 10 to 15 years, real hard here for the last 6 to 8 years, I think, here in the state of Ohio. And you bring up a great question that's just loaded with issues. And I'd actually love to have you come in on the show sometime because you've obviously thought this through and given it some thought. And you've got some in-depth thought about all the issues involved. And unfortunately, some of the people out there, you're right on point, they don't. But
yeah. And like I say, sir, I don't own a gun. I shot a gun, I think, twice in my life. But I am not concerned about people that are legally carrying. I mean, I don't have an issue with that.
Okay.
I just have questions, you know, about this argument I hear that doesn't seem to be quite valid in my mind. And that's why I was calling.
Well, it's a great call. And again, whether you're legally carrying or you have a gun and you use a gun in a different capacity to thwart a violent crime, the end result is what we got to look at. And if an individual uses, they don't have a permit, they're on their own property, for example, and they're out in a public location on their property and something happens and they use a gun and they don't have their permit, that's a good outcome. There have been other situations where people got access to the bad guy's gun and was able to neutralize the threat, and they didn't have a whole lot of knowledge of it. So I think the bottom line is spontaneous violence rears its ugly head unexpectedly in a lot of places. And we as citizens just have to change our mindset and be ready, willing, and capable to step up and defend ourselves when it comes time to do that.
George, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out to Richard, who has a comment on this same discussion. Richard, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, guys. The comment that I'm thinking about immediately is that people that are carrying concealed are not there generally to take care of the situations that the gentleman that called in is talking about. The people that conceal carry are for their personal protection in anybody in their immediate vicinity. But if you are not being threatened with bodily harm or death, you're not there to take care of bank robberies and whatever type of violent situation that come up. Your primary response is to get out of there. But if you're forced in a situation where you have to protect yourself, then there's essentially no training other than how to operate the firearm. But there's no hostage situation that they're going to be taking care of. There's no bank robbery situation they're going to be taking care of. The set of circumstances that a concealed carry person is trained to take care of is extremely, extremely limited.
Well, I think there's obviously some truth to that, but to some extent that is a personal decision, whether or not you personally are willing to do something in defense of another innocent person who is being assaulted or is at risk of grave bodily harm or death. The fact that you have a license to carry concealed handgun does not make you a law enforcement, but it doesn't mean that you have to stop being human either. You don't have to say, I'm not going to help someone else who's in trouble. It doesn't obligate you to do that, but it doesn't keep you from doing it either.
But that obviates a lot of the circumstances that your previous caller was talking about, because these people, the concealed carry, are not even considered being trained or trained for bank robberies, situations that somebody that would be there that would be armed that would be able to take care of it. But they're there to take care of essentially themselves or somebody in their immediate area.
You're exactly right. And there are some very obvious distinctions between the different types of scenarios that both of you are talking about. And you make some very valid points. And the bottom line is law enforcement has a vested responsibility to protect human life when they're called to the scene. Private individuals just basically have their own individual duty to protect themselves and others from violent circumstances, and those can rear their ugly heads in a variety of different contexts. It could
Correct.
Be a bank robbery where you're in the bank, and actually the situation goes down. The bank robber roars in, fires two shots through the ceiling, and now you're faced with a potential hostage situation where you don't know if he's going to start shooting at people. You're standing there saying, do I or don't I? What Mark was
exactly.
saying, that's an individual decision. Law enforcement is on their way, but you got to make that decision at that point, and that's a tough situation to be in. That's why you need to think it out ahead of time.
No argument. No argument.
Absolutely. Great comments. Thank you for your call.
Thanks very much for calling. We are going to take a break in just a little bit longer, but we've still got another minute or so. So let's go out to Sean in Beaver Creek and see if we can help him. Thanks for joining the show. Sean, are you still with us? I know you've been hanging for a while.
Oh, it's no problem at all. Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. I am interested in finding out whether there are any gun ranges in the Dayton area that allow you to rent firearms as well as practice.
Sure, we do that at Sim Trainer. We have quite a selection of firearms in our safe, and we will walk you through those, and we have classes that go along with those for people who are interested. If you have some shooting experience, we can also check you out and let you, we have a try before you buy program, for example, that lets you do that, or you can rent guns for $10 a piece anytime that you would want to come down as a member to shoot.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much for calling the show. We're going to take our last break of the hour here in just a few seconds. And so if you'd like to get on the air, give us a call at 457-1290. We would love to have your inputs. Maybe it's something that you'd like to join in the discussion that we've been having over the last few minutes. Maybe you have some other comment or question that you would like for us to address. Maybe you're looking to buy a firearm, or you've been out to the gun show and you saw some things going on out there that maybe raised some interest and generated a question. Give us a call at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO.
Welcome back to the show, and during the last segment, I'm going to, again, thank George and Richard for calling in, because they both offered some very insightful perspectives on topics that we very much value here on the show, and quite frankly, why we came up with the concept of having the radio show. The whole idea here is to add some breadth and depth of knowledge to our listening audience and to give people an opportunity to call in with their concerns and the issues they brought up, George in particular, very, very interesting and very insightful. And I want to encourage our listeners to seek out the answers to some of those questions on your own. Call in, engage us in dialogue so that we can, because if you have a concern or a question, chances are there are a lot of other people out there who have similar concerns and questions. And I just want to kind of wrap that segment up by mentioning that we at Sim Trainer believe that individuals, we as individuals, not as law enforcement officers or military personnel, but as private individuals, have the personal responsibility of ensuring our own safety and the safety of others when we can. Because like Mark mentioned so often, it's one thing to protect ourselves, but how would we feel if we had the opportunity, the means to protect someone else, and for whatever reason we chose not to do that? Carry, you know, the responsibility of individual safety also, I think, reasonably goes along with safety of those around us, in whether it's our neighbors, our friends, our close associates, our coworkers, whatever the case might be. Let's go back out to the phones, Mark. Got somebody out there?
Yeah, let's talk to Rick, who's calling in with a question. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing great. How can we help you?
Great. I've been listening to your conversation about concealed carry, and just real quickly, about a year or so ago, I ran into a guy that said, hey, if you want your concealed carry license, I have a friend that'll give it to you. You just pay the $100, read some information. He's not going to make you sit through the whole class and go through all of this. You know, just read it and pay the $100, and he'll give you your paperwork. And I'm here to tell you that is not the guy that people want to go to get their concealed carry license.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And on top of that, it's a felony to do that.
Well, it probably is, no doubt. But you need to get the very best training you can, you know, very comprehensive program like you guys have down there, if you're going to take the responsibility of carrying a weapon. So that's just want listeners to know there are people out there that may offer you that. That's not what you want to do.
Well, and that's commonly what we run into when people say, well, why are you a little bit more than the next guy? And when we tell them about the substance that we provide, and when we have them leaving there scratching their head, accepting the full responsibility of gun ownership and carrying a gun and potentially using a gun, it just adds that value added that makes it well worth the additional expense.
Rick, thanks very much for calling the show. We've got just about a minute left before we have to punch out.
One thing I just want to remind our listeners about this, the shopping season brings with it added dangers out in public when you're out shopping. Be sure to be aware of your surroundings. Pay attention when you're walking to and from your car to the store. Make sure you secure your packages in your automobile out of sight, and don't make yourself a prime target, because this is a season when they're out lurking in the darkness just looking for potential targets. So be very careful.
And when you are putting those packages in the car, don't let that be a time when you lose focus on paying attention to what's going on around you, because that is certainly a time when the predator would be actively looking to find a way to get up on you. And staying situationally aware, paying attention to what's going on around you during that time when you're moving packages into the vehicle, that's certainly a high-risk situation. We had one a couple of years ago in a Walnut Mart parking lot. I'd like to remind folks that we will be having our regular show here on Christmas Eve at 2 o'clock, but from 9 to 1 at the range, we will have a special show. So stay tuned now after the news at the top of the hour for There Is a Season. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio, WHIO.